This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott.
I was thinking along the lines of no TV and no beer, make Homer something, something.
Go crazy?
Don't mind if I do!
Homer and Marge Simpson, they are hearkening back to the heyday of the couch potato. Today's TV viewers are no longer glued to their couches, leading Lawrence Scott to wonder if the vegetative viewer exists anymore. He's a writer and academic who's teaching at Arcadia University in London and wrote about the extinction of the couch potato for The New Yorker. We reached him via Skype. Lawrence, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
So your students, college age, didn't know what a couch potato is. For the benefit of young listeners, what is it and where did this phrase come from?
So a couch potato, the phrase was coined in the late 70s. A man called Tom Iacino phoned up his friend and his girlfriend picked up and Tom said to the girlfriend, "Oh, is the couch potato there?" He claims to have sort of invented it spontaneously, referring to someone, and we've taken this on to mean someone who just loves slouching on the couch for hours on end, usually eating sort of ruffled potato chips, I imagine, and just watching hours and hours of television.
Sinking into the ground.
Yeah, just reaching comatose levels of TV consumption. That was sort of the vibe of it in the 90s anyway.
So I'll ask the question in the title of your article, what happened to the couch potato?
Well, that's what the strangest thing. You mentioned young listeners. I was taking some university students on a tour and we were thinking about new words and obsolete words. And I tried to explain to them what a couch potato was because one of them didn't know what it meant at all. And I thought, well, what's going on? And my book, The Four-Dimensional Human, which is out next month, it talks a lot about how digital technologies are impacting just the basic ways we live our lives. And so I'm always on the lookout for the ways in which language is changing and our expressions are changing. It also sort of hints at changes to our moral outlook. And I think with where has the couch potato gone, it has to do with this sense that we're no longer really ashamed of our lives in front of screens. There was a sense that the screen was sort of bad for you in some way. When I was young in the 80s, we were told not to sit too close to the television. Now I take my laptop into bed with me and sit sort of cuddling it. I'm about a foot away from the screen and it's in the bed. So there's something about the way digital devices have reprogrammed our whole relationship to watching television.
Yeah, people can watch anywhere. So with their natural habitat of couch gone, are couch potatoes now screen junkies?
Yeah, I mean, what's a better word? I think we've moved from sort of the couch potato term was always pretty much pejorative. It was also almost, it was something people were guilty about admitting that they were. It was a sense of lethargy and almost a depressive, passive way to live your life when you're being a couch potato. And I think now people are still concerned and young parents are still concerned with how children are using digital devices and screens, but it's moved from a depressive mode almost to a manic mode, isn't it? It's about how do we calm people down from trying to do a million different things at once? Because let's remember that now the television has gone onto a laptop. It's sort of hidden there among many other potentially more diligent pastimes or, you know, you could be doing anything on your laptop, but you could also just be watching the latest episode of Transparent or something.
Well, you're right. There is a sense that it is more active. You're doing something when you have your laptop and you're looking back and forth with your phone. You know, it's not as sluggish as the kind of moral judgment of couch potato. But does watching TV, being glued to the screen far from the family room, actually take away that judgment?
I think there's a lot less sort of embarrassment than there used to be. I think even the generation before me, they would never sort of admit to watching television during the day. Sort of daytime TV was seen as sort of a slightly embarrassing activity. And now when I'm around London on the tubes and stuff, the metro, I can see people watching television. I can see last night's soap opera and it's sort of piping up through their earbuds. And I thought, wow, I mean, I'm not really into sort of these judgment calls of you shouldn't be doing this, you shouldn't be doing that. I'm just observing a sort of a moral change that's really fascinating. And also, when we think about live television and what we call legacy television, traditional television is so much really in decline. And I think a lot of these TV shows are trying to get viewer involvement via the internet as a way of saving it as a format. You know, you always see the idea of celebrities live tweeting during their shows.
Mm-hmm.
And if they do that, viewer numbers really spike. We're always being told now to get involved, the hashtag, you know, linked to the program. So it's all about involvement. And, you know, the old couch potato is sort of half asleep.
But how about binge watching? I mean, people do stay holed up in their houses for an entire weekend to catch up on a series. That sounds like old school couch potato behavior.
It's totally old school. And I was thinking maybe when you're asking before what has replaced it, I think the closest replacement from couch potato is the idea of Netflix binging or any sort of binge watching in that way. But the point I made in the New Yorker article, I think, was that that's sort of the couch potato is this big lump and noun, immobile, just lying there. And binging, even that suggests some of the jitteriness and the hyperactivity of digital life now, the sense that we're just consuming so much that it's almost not that good for us. So as I said, there's still these sort of concerns about it. It's just the mode has totally shifted and the potato metaphor no longer makes any sense in these sort of multitasking, slightly hyper times that digital technologies are sort of encouraging in us all the time.
Mm. And it does allow people to leave their home and look at their screens in public spaces. So how about it, Lawrence? Have you played with any new terms for the morphed or the updated couch potato?
What would it be? It would be like, a sort of a screen hummingbird, or you'd need something really sort of hyperactive. I don't know, something like the laptop leopard or something. I don't know.
Well, we'll keep working on that one.
Yeah, please do. If listeners have any suggestions, I'd love to hear them.
Well, Lawrence, thank you for speaking with us.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Lawrence Scott is a contributing writer for The New Yorker, teaches English and creative writing at Arcadia University in London. His book, The Four-Dimensional Human, is coming out in August. There's more on him and the article at wordofmouthradio.org.